Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Living with MS and receiving a diagnosis of MS, a neurological condition, affects thousands of people living in this country. It can impact your speech, mobility, vision, and just everyday life. And Jamie Crawford, entrepreneur, Meath Gaelic footballer Cillian O'Sullivan, both with me in studio today. Good afternoon, gents. You're very welcome to the programme. Cillian, you might tell us first of all a little bit about your diagnosis and how that came about.
Yeah, so I was on my honeymoon in Argentina, in Mendoza, with my wife, and I've been experiencing symptoms over the last probably year. But really, it kind of came to a head when I was in Argentina in a restaurant, and I'd just been gradually losing control and power in my left side and numbness, and got to a stage, couldn't cut my steak. My wife had to do it for me, and I said, right, better get this looked at properly. I've been in touch with physios and medical teams back home. They said, get a scan. Got a scan down there, and the scan came back with... there was a lesion on my spine, and that was indicative of MS. So I was on the first flight home the next day. Never forget that morning call that I got from the doctor. Yeah. Or first flight home and into St. Vincent's. And it kind of that started from there, getting the confirmation of the diagnosis from there. So I had 3 weeks of a really good honeymoon. And then the next couple of weeks after that weren't so good. Yeah. But life doesn't go the way you planned. So yeah, it was just probably dealing with that diagnosis and that kind of journey from there.
And you know, because obviously playing football for as long as you have and with me, then I'm sure you've, you know, injuries and knocks and hits that come about over the years. When you had those kind of early symptoms that you experienced, I presume MS was never in your mind at all.
No, it wasn't on the radar really. I just thought I was playing quite poorly at the time. I just needed to train a bit more or try a bit harder.
Yeah.
And it was actually quite a relief to kind of understand, okay, I wasn't just having a bad day playing Gaelic, but that was the big thing, was just actually understanding what was going on for me, getting the scans, the showing that the vision difficulties that I'd been having, the loss of control on my left side and some of those motor control difficulties could be explained by the MS. And so it was a bit of reassurance. Now, I probably wouldn't have picked up on it as much if it wasn't for the Gaelic football. Just remember being on the pitch at one stage thinking, I don't have any idea how I'm going to catch this ball, or I'm seeing two balls here, I don't know what's going on.
Really?
So that was very reassuring, you know, that I got this kind of diagnosis that explained that for me. And yeah, I had a bit of a background. I work as a clinical psychologist, so I had some understanding around MS. I'd encountered it before, so I was quickly able to kind of go on and look at the evidence base around it and kind of inform myself a bit, as well as my wife, that I was able to kind of, okay, this is good information, that's bad information, and that was really helpful at that time.
What about you, Jamie? Does this Cillian story resonate with you and your diagnosis?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was diagnosed 13 years ago, so it's a little bit further down the road than Cillian is. But I woke up on the morning. I used to work in the radio business.
Yeah.
And as you know, we get our listenership results every quarter. And I woke up the morning of those results and I was lying in bed and I was on my phone doing the usual stuff. Shouldn't be on my phone while I was lying in bed in the morning. Should be up and going. But there I was. And I noticed that, like, when I was typing on the iPhone, like, I just, my fingers just felt weird, felt a bit like kind of like I didn't have great control on the phone. When I got up, then I noticed that my arm was almost like as if I'd leaned on a nerve. So it was kind of pulsing almost and just felt very odd, very strange. Got into the shower to get in and go to work. And I noticed then that I would turn on the shower. I couldn't really feel the water hitting me on one side of my face. So busy as I was, I went in. Started delving through the JNLR results. We were in there till 8-9 o'clock that night doing the work. And when I went to leave the office, I went to grab the door handle of my office door. And it was like it wasn't there. I completely missed it. And my hand sort of just hit the wall beside where the door handle was. And I sort of had to stop and I just kind of stumbled backwards. That gave me a bit of a fright.
Yeah.
And I went at it again really slowly. And I was just saying to Cillian outside, it was kind of like I was a little bit drunk. You know, that kind of feeling where you lose
lots
your motor
of control
skills.
A little bit. Yeah. Like.
And then I said, I have to drive home now. Is this safe or what's going on here? So anyway, I got in the car, got home and actually on the phone to my dad on the way home, and he was like, you need to go, that's not normal, like you need to go and get something checked. And I went to a wedding the next day, and I would normally have been last man standing at any wedding. And once the meal was over, I turned around to Georgie then. I said, I have to go to bed. I'm absolutely exhausted. We went to bed, and then a week later, I went to see my GP, and he was quite an old school GP. And he basically said to me straight up there and then, you either have MS or you've had a stroke, but we need to send you into a neurologist and you need to get checked.
And both is as daunting and frightening as the other, hearing that.
So there was it was A or B. So I was obviously really worried. And 4 or 5 weeks later, I was diagnosed with MS, having gone through the MRI process, lumbar punctures. And I spent a week in hospital having various tests. And as those tests went on, the sort of the cardio tests started to drop, and they started to focus more on brain scans, CT scans, lumbar punctures, and it was all leaning towards MS.
MS. And you were what age, Jimmy, at the time?
I was 32.
32. And Killian, your diagnosis?
I think I was 30, 2023. So, yeah, around the same age.
Yeah, because typically I think it's something that a lot of us probably associate with, you know, your mummy or dad, like an older person receiving a diagnosis. But you're both fit, healthy, in your 30s getting this.
Yeah, suppose it can be a bit of an invisible disease, you know, in terms of the mobility, the fatigue, some of the cognitive difficulties that some people can experience, but also the two types of MS that you can have, early relapsing, remitting, and then the progressive MS, which is what you might see where there's the more obvious or physical disabilities in terms of those in wheelchairs. And that was my understanding of it at the start. Yeah. And it was only once I got the diagnosis that my neurologist said to me, you're going to see it everywhere. And it was everywhere. You know, I had friends and family that had experience of it. So that was kind of reassuring as well in a way. Now, still very difficult, but no MS diagnosis is the same really. So there is a comfort in that, but there's also the unknown and the uncertainty around that. And for me, it's just around the acceptance around that and, kind of embracing that as much as I can.
Because this is something, and Jamie, a lot of our listeners will know your wife, Georgie Crawford, obviously, and podcaster. And Georgie's been very vocal about her own story and experience living through breast cancer as well. And you know, unlike dealing with a cancer diagnosis, I suppose you instantly think about, you know, treatment or how are we going to deal with this or what's the medication for MS. So what options were there, if any?
Back then, there was very little options. And it's one thing that I say to people, a lot of people contact me now if they've been newly diagnosed. And the first thing I say to them is, listen, just to take a little bit of worry away from you, this is a very different illness to what it was when I was diagnosed. So when I was diagnosed, there was three medications on the market. Two of them were not as effective. And then it was one very effective one, but it's also quite dangerous. So they didn't put people on that straight away. So for me, I was looking into I didn't really know. It was this massive fear of the unknown. And I didn't tell anyone that I had MS for about 8 years because I was really worried about how I'd be perceived, what it would do to impact my career. Would it stop my career progression? You know, and again, I didn't know what my progression with the illness would be. And so as time has gone on, there has been a rapid and massive increase of the efficacy of the medication. I don't even know Killian's medication that he's on. You named it earlier. I haven't even heard of that one. That's how many there are now.
Yeah.
And it is a really progressive space in terms of the treatment. Back then, even 13 years ago, which doesn't seem like that long ago, even to me, you know, I didn't have many options. I was put on a medication and it failed. So I have relapsed remitting MS. So I will relapse and I'll have an episode, as they say, and then I'll go into remission. And thankfully, I've been in remission for, I can't even remember how long, it's probably 8 to 10 years. But at the start, I had a number of relapses, and then I was moved to a different medication, which at the time...
And that has helped, is it?
And that's the one I'm still on now.
And for you, Killian, what is, you know, how does your diagnosis affect day-to-day living in, or how does it in any way?
I don't really notice it much day-to-day. It's maybe more my worry about it at times I notice it. But once I went on the medication, a lot of those symptoms and a lot of the difficulties I was having kind of went away.
Yeah.
that was just from the treatment, but also from my lifestyle that had changed as well. I got back to playing Gaelic football at a high enough level. I'm able to work 5 days a week. And it's just about managing my energy, I suppose, more during the day. And at the weekend, it's easier to say no to things that you don't want to go to.
Right.
And to put yourself first a bit, or put, you know, your relationships first a bit. But I, the big reassuring thing was, even what my neurologist said to me at the time was, 10 years ago, this was a very different diagnosis. Yeah. We were chatting outside about that. That now there's a lot more treatments, there's a lot more research, they know an awful lot more. You were saying that you were in hospital for a week, kind of getting the going through all the tests. They knew straight away with me that they were able to kind of fast track those a bit more and quickly get to that understanding. I was there, and it was the next day almost when I was in the hospital. They were like, right, 90% sure that it's that it's MS. We just have to rule out a couple of other things. So it kind of fast tracked that for me as well. I don't really notice it much in the day to day, but it's more than you, it's the future planning. What the impact it might have in the future, if any. But there's kind of really promising research at the moment about remyelination, you know, and which is nice for me to hear as well.
Yeah.
But it's also around accepting as well that whatever difficulties I do encounter, be it physical, be it psychological, that meeting those as they come, for me, in a hiding away, you know, my training as a clinical psychologist, speaking to them, knowing them, because they're gonna come up some other place anyway, you know. So meet all those emotions, talk to them, understand them. It was really, really important for me, and I think it's easier for me to do now because we know a lot more about it.
And also, Jamie, like when you mentioned that point about, you know, maybe not sharing, and not for, look, for loads of different reasons, and I think a lot of us would probably have been in the same position as you, might not have shared this, your diagnosis or your story with people, or particularly with the public. You know, it's a great thing to do, I think, to talk about it, because it highlights how common it is that, you know, both of you are here today. We talk about the numbers of people living with MS in Ireland, but for you now, day to day, do you notice much impact from the diagnosis, or
no,
how do you manage
thank
it?
Thank God, I'm in really good shape. Like I just did an ultra marathon 2 weeks ago.
That's right,
60K in the mountains. I'm in really good shape, but I did make a massive amount of lifestyle adjustments in order to, I guess, maybe mitigate any of the problems that I may had. So back then I was out a lot. I spent, you know, sleep was not as important in my life at all. I was out entertaining clients 2-3 nights a week. I was playing sport. I was out at the weekends with my friends. I was very, very busy. I shut all that down kind of immediately. I focused on diet. I focused on holistic health. I focused on every little tiny thing that I could do. And I think that's paid off. 13 years later, I'm in really good shape. I don't have that many symptoms. I can get a little bit of numbness now and again, and I get some cognitive, I got a bit of brain fog and things like that,
which is a
common occurrence with people with MS. But, you know, again, as Killian and I were talking outside, is that MS or is that just because you're busy? You know, it's very difficult to differentiate. So again, I just tend to try and not focus on that stuff, and I just move on and get on with it.
Get on with it all. The future is, and you mentioned that, Killian, it's kind of maybe the unknown about, which, look, all of us could probably say that to some extent too, but do you get any information from your neurological team around what the prognosis could be or might be or will be, or managing that?
Well, I said earlier, there's no MS case is the same.
Yeah,
it's all very individual. I would speak with the MS nurse, the MS team quite regularly. I would email them around, I'm experiencing this, and just trying to tease apart, is this a relapse or is this not? So that's, I suppose, where I'd notice it in the day-to-day for me now. I don't look too far into the future around it, and that's not in terms of I don't want to go there or I don't want to address it. It's more, I don't know. No one can know. No one can tell me. What's best for me to do is focus on the here and now. But also, I've been dealt a pretty good hand in life. You know, if this is the hardest thing that comes my way, that's okay. Yeah. But I also am very, very lucky to have, in terms of the public service, but also my family, my friends, and my relationship with my wife, that they're unbelievable supports that I know I can manage whatever does come up. And that this isn't like it's all sunshine and rainbows. It's going to be great. There will be definitely difficult and challenging times ahead, but I suppose I trust that I have the resources around me to manage that. I have the right team, and There's enough research happening around it now that gives you a bit of hope around it too. Yeah. As well.
And even as you said, you know, the prognosis, or I suppose the advancements that have been made, Jamie, in recent years as well. For anybody listening today that has maybe, you know, just received in recent weeks an MS diagnosis, what words of hope or wisdom would you give them, Jamie?
Yeah, I suppose I was talking at an MS conference last year, and the stats that they were putting up on the screen were so positive about how this illness is progressing. And say 20, 30 years ago, if you were in your 60s or 70s, you would notice significant physical symptoms and signs of MS, maybe people walking with sticks, wheelchairs, etc. Those stats have now dropped off massively because of the medication. And the more the medication and the more the research is happening, those stats are dropping way off, are way down. So I guess I just talk to people about how positive and how comforting I felt when I saw that stuff.
Yeah.
And again, just trying to even share examples of people like Killian and people who I've known who have it,
yeah,
and who are leading a really, really normal life, and that tends to reassure people.
Yeah, I'd say even just exactly that, meeting others, you know, and hearing their stories is a massive level of reassurance too. As part of this, of course, you know, there's always research being carried out, and that's something, Killian, that you were participating in, is the MS readathon that's happening, for anybody that might want to get involved in it.
Yeah, so it's a fundraising initiative where children sign up, set a goal. Children, adults, young adults and adults as well, they sign up, set a goal for how many books they want to read. And yeah, they go to their family, their parents, or any friends, and ask to fundraise to kind of meet that goal. When I first got my diagnosis, my friend goes to me, "Oh yeah, I fundraised for you when I was younger." And I was like,
"Really?
What do you mean?" Because I did the MS readathon myself when I was younger. I had no clue what it was about. I just remember going into the school library at the time and the MS readathon, and I remember fundraising at the time for that. I'm not sure if I handed in the money that I fundraised, but that was quite reassuring just to know. My friend said to me, "Oh yeah, Kieran, when I was in hospital at the time, I fundraised for you." So that was really... I've been kind of fundraising for myself, which is really nice. But yeah, it's a really, really good initiative. I suppose it's children being introduced to community, helping others, understanding others, and the benefit of reading as well, which helps kids to become more empathetic. They learn how to step into other people's worlds, understand different people's stories, and also, which is really, really important, how to think critically, discern good versus bad information. And that's really important in the MS world, I think, because there's a lot of people will say they have a cure or do this therapy or that therapy, while I think with MS, it's really important to stick to the evidence base. And that's what MS Readathon does. It supports people with... kind of accessing those evidence-based resources and supports that MS Ireland provide.
And if people want to get involved, where can they do that?
You go to the MS Readathon website and you can sign up there online. And yeah, just set your reading goal. Make sure it's books that you enjoy that are fun. For kids involved, don't let your parents pick the books. You pick the books yourself because it's more likely that you're going to read it than yourself.
Well, from the MS Readathon to ultra marathons as well. Listen, I really appreciate you both coming in to share your stories with us today. Killian Sullivan, Jamie Crawford, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.